have a guideline to follow during worship in this church?
Yeah, we got papers back.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That way I can listen to the Lord and see it. So the call to worship is found in Psalm 100, and let's go through that together. Call to worship is usually something that they do in the beginning of a church. I've seen it done many different ways, but it's just to get us in focus with what's going on in the service. So let's start out. I'll read the first line, and everyone in here will read the bold that we read every Sunday. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing.
Know that the Lord himself is good.
It is he who gives us, not we ourselves. We are his people and his sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
For the Lord is good.
His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Yeah, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. If you have that question, I want to hear from God, that's the way to start out, is to get into his presence with thanksgiving. So let's join together with the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Trying to do chum dinner on Wednesday. I have one person sign up to cook, And I have Rose signed up to help transport and serve and come back. And I would ideally like at least two more people signed up for Jewel spots. Wednesday we'll start cooking about 10:30, 11-ish. It's not a job, so you're going to have a very good time.
What do you make?
I'm making chicken cacciatore, mashed potatoes, Caesar salad, bread. Bev apparently has 947 dozen cookies to deliver, so. serving typically starts at 5. We go at 5. When you get there, they'll unload it for you and help you set it all up, and then help you pack it up when you're done. And then you come back, we'll all clean up and all leave. And there's a rumor there will be a lot of fun as well. So if you can sign up, if anybody has any questions, grab my cell phone number and shoot me a text.
Any joy or concerns? Someone would like to share?
For all of you that have been praying for my family, Kurt's wife, Connie, was able to have chemo this past week. Her blood counts were strong enough. And my daughter, Green, who's been diagnosed with a brain tumor, the tumor has not grown, and so it's going to be a matter of watching it. She has a continual headache, but it hasn't stopped her. She's working full time.
Boy, definitely pray for that. Anyone else? There we go.
Kevin, many of us have had maladies, I mean, whether it's cancer, broken bones, or hips, or hearts, or whatever. And I just want to offer praise and thanksgiving for the people that take care of us in our health care. Whether it's Ascension or St. Luke's, Mary just had cataract surgery, I had knee surgery, we got great care. And we take all that for granted. And I just want us to be mindful of those folks who work so hard to take good care of us. Thanks.
Anyone else? Going once? Church, help us focus on kingdom business. Stir up that gift which God placed within us. Rekindle that spark that established us so many years ago, originating on Calvary, that started all Christendom and into motion, Lord. Teach Christians how to duplicate ourselves, create a culture of discipleship in our community, take our individual parts, help us take our individual parts that are unique in the Great Commission, and help us to be able to, in our own way, give others the good news so that they too may live. And the church together prayed the Lord's Prayer. This is printed in your bulletins, a version from Luke. I know we always do the Matthew one, as many other places do, but I thought we should go through another witness's version. Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father,
may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield
which the early church, started out sharing the good news, and we're in a little Greek here today. Euangelion means good news. And so turn to somebody and give them the euangelion. Up for the week. I used to be We used to have almost three services a week where I was, and I look forward to Wednesday and Thursday and Sunday just so I can, you know, keep charged up, you know, with God's word. So what is the picture of your life? You got it? Dragonfly? Oh, that's pretty. Do you have dragonflies where you live? Do you see them?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit sometimes? Yep.
Sometimes I see them at the pond.
Oh, yeah, they fly real low and fast right over the pond.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Yeah, we had a flowers on the end of the sidewalk, and there was a beautiful monarch butterfly on there just this summer. Would have been a nice thing to take a picture of, except my cell phone battery was dead. Yeah, that's good. My granddaughter is not my phone, but her dad's phone. She runs it down all the time. Well, with that, let's pray, and then you can go to the Sunday school with you wish, or back with your dad in the pew there. Heavenly Father, help us to remember that just as our bodies must be renewed by proper rest, our spirit must be renewed by spending time with you in prayer. In prayer, Bible study, and worship. Amen. Now you can get the children's time. And again, you could thank Liz for that one, because we were in Solon Springs last night at a prayer event, and we were there real late. So last night at 11:30, 12 o'clock, Liz said, "Did you have a message for children's time?" So let's go. Thank you.
understand the inscription. Yeah. Could you turn me down a little bit? There's too many of me up here.
Good morning. So the scripture reading is in the bulletin this morning, so you can kind of read along right with me. The first reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 through 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. The second reading is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
And we started a storefront church down there.
And we ended up having three services a week, and people of all types coming in, and some of their stories were, you know, they went into a cathedral-like church and came up to the altar to give their life to the Lord, and they were escorted out because they weren't dressed properly. And you hear all kinds of stories like that. But these are the people that we ministered to. We actually, you know, like missionaries would, we actually, Liz and I, put our physical labor into rebuilding an apartment building inside, cleaning it up. Taught the person that ran the place, you know, how to do bill pay online and stuff to keep up on his bills and, you know, the whole thing. And just like any missionary would in a foreign country, when I go to meetings, when we first came to know the Lord and we wanted to know more about this and that, I wanted to know, you know, what can I do for God? And you'd always hear these missionaries talking. And, you know, you have to go to Africa. You know, you have to go to this country. And then they tell us how bad it was over there, you know, and how they just barely got out with their lives. I didn't want to go to Africa. You know, I told God, I don't want to be a missionary. But the same thing happened, only right here in this city. We spent quite a bit of time down there. It took about 3 years of physically being there on the street and just ministering to people before they trust us. And it eventually, the church went up, the small, we called it a chapel, because we didn't want to compete with other churches in the area or do anything. And during the time down there, I would teach evangelism courses, and local pastors from several different churches would come, and I didn't know what I was doing. All I had was the Bible, and it's done this way, you know, and we'd have whole groups of local pastors and interested people. We'd go together and we'd minister on the street. And the more we'd done that, I believe that's not the only way to, you know, the Lord says go forth and disciple, you know, create a environment of discipleship, you know, where, because when you first believe, as the song says, you want to know more about this Jesus, and you want to run to some place, and what are they going to see when they get there? You know, and that's what we did. It was a denominational church that we were in at the time, and I was so hungry for God's word that when they read the two scriptures, that was it. You know, I wanted more, and I wanted to know more about, you know, what God would have us do, and you know, how I can fit in this kingdom of God. And then Martin Luther, John Wesley, Charles Finney are three I want to talk about today. And they all had similar experiences. And that's, I wanted to know what sparked these people, you know, into whatever happened, you know, after that, as well as myself. You know, there's a passage of scripture that seemed to drop into my mind like a flood, like, and that's the same phrase, and this is me speaking about myself, but it's the same phrase that I found in the texts and writings of all these men that I just mentioned. You know, a passage of scripture just dropped into my mind with a flood of light. And God said, and I believe it was God, it was biblical. He says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 16:11. And then with that passage, the light with that passage, God said, "How will they know the beauty?" And when he hit that word, it was like Greek to me, like euangelion, the good news. But it was a mixture of words, light, and color. And he says, "How will they know the beauty of my presence if you will not share the good news?" And I think he has said that to the church, all these other great men and women of God that through history that have been inspired by that first spark when they believed. We put our identity so much into, speak for myself as a man, you know, I had a professional career, and the first thing you do when you come into a group of people or talk to each other, and it's not bad, but you know, what do? I'm retired, I do nothing, you know. I had a career for 30 years and full time, and we managed to minister 3 services a week and set aside time to be part of that church outreach that we had. And I came to find that I put my identity in my knowledge of my profession and what I did to help, which is not bad to be proud of, but I lost that job an economic downturn in the United States that was during the Barack Obama era, and a lot of businesses did some quick shifting around to keep themselves afloat, but they laid off 700-800 of us, and it wasn't anything with performance or this or that. It was just like, "We need a percentage, you're gone." And when you get that far along in your career, they, to tell the truth, they don't want to hire old people back. Yeah. But I was a manager or director level by that time, and when they rebuilt the company, of course they wanted new blood and this and that and the other thing. So I went through a bad time, dark time with my personally, and I felt I had lost my whole identity. And I found that in that darkness, you know, God was still calling and talking to me. And I think the moral to the story is, if I die, what do you want put on your grave? You know, this man was a friend of Jesus. So then the second verse that the passage of scripture that dropped into my mind with a flood of light. And this is why I was down, after arduously searching for God and wondering what is my place in this world, was Romans 10:13. And in today's language, that's the most inclusive language you could have possibly see. It says, if anyone, meaning in the Greek, that means anyone, calls upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. And that is the good news. That if anyone, I mean, even if you're depressed, you're down, if somebody has turned you away from their group, there's the Lord there to take you and give you purpose and give you direction. So everyone who calls upon the Lord shall be saved. Anyway, Martin Luther was reading, somebody was reading Martin Luther's exposition of Romans, and John Wesley went to that exposition, and where they were reading that. He grew up, he was a pastor's son. He was one of 10 children, I should say one of 19 children. 9 died. And they had big families back then. And so he grew up in the church. He taught faith in Cambridge. And it wasn't until he heard this reading of Romans that, in his words, in his writings, that he felt that warm flood of light enter his body, and a sudden peace came over him that he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he knew the Lord and that he knew that he was saved. Charles Finney was a lawyer in the early 1800s, a New York lawyer, and he intellectually knew about God. He went to churches and this and that, but he knew something was missing. He himself was, I guess it's in history, one of the great evangelists that went across the United States. And I think just about the time Stillwater was established on the edge of the river, that's as far as he went. This was all territory. He went in the woods while he should have been working one day because he wanted to get away and clear his mind. And he just said, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. And it's the same thing that happened to me. I was saying, God, if you are real, show yourself to me. His writings that God came to him and dropped some scripture into his mind with light and a feeling of warmth like he has never felt before. And that's when his ministry started. He just kept following and what God had for him. But what is keeping us from fulfilling our ministry is spiritual blind spots. I mean, it's I touched on it lightly with a cell phone. I mean, it's called a phone. And if you wanted to call somebody, and you can't do that if all the other distractions on there have drained your battery for the week. And just like Jesus did when I... And just like the men and women of God in the Bible and that we've heard about in history, they've all recharged their batteries, including Jesus himself, that says he does nothing except what he hears from the Father. So he goes away to the mountain before he comes back he goes away to the mountain to get alone and just seek the Father and get his direction. This church has a excellent opportunity for, because it's just the way God does it to me. All of a sudden I'm there. Why am I here, Lord? You're here. There's a daycare going in. It's already in progress. And I think that's God telling you that this is your mission. You know, this is a mission from God to do this. And it's something that this whole community can get together and basically God will make it happen. We just have to show up. Amen. So, we'll join together in the next hymn. Living Spirit, Holy Fire.
In our dreams.
Thank you.
announcement.
I don't know if you know, but Sarah got married yesterday. So as the people we are going to have a celebration for Sarah and Steve on Sunday, November 3rd. You might have read about it in your past newsletter. So we're going to have a meal. It will be catered. We're going to take care of ourselves. If you wish to help defray the cost, you can certainly write a check to the church, put in the memo that it is for the reception, or I will take the cash and we will add that to the pot. And they did request no gifts, but if you really feel you must, I think a card, a gift card, cash, and of course chocolate is always welcome.
Any others? There we go.
I would just add to that that Sarah would love it if we would bring our own wedding pictures on the 3rd. So I think that'd be kind of my love.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, that would be awesome. A whole table set up of young people.
Next Sunday is the last Sunday in October, and that means that's the time to bring in your trick-or-treat for UNICEF boxes. I know we handed them out 1 week later this year, but we're still going to collect them next Sunday morning. And if you really, really forget, we can still hold it for another week or so. And there was just a note from UNICEF the other day that they're really working hard now with children in Syria. So that's a big focus for them right now. So try to remember your boxes next Sunday. I already got 4 heavy boxes in this morning, and I'm very thankful for those. So we'll collect them next Sunday. Thanks.
Anyone else? There we go. Make a note, keep the messages, or the, yeah, keep this to the last 5 minutes and they'll go fast. All right, we have one more hymn.
Yep. Revive us again, and the words are on the screen.
good. We have a God of second, third chances. Lord, help us get this right. Just revive us again. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his, cause his face to shine upon you and give you that peace that passes all human understanding, as he has done to so many of us. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Just hit this?
Yeah.